This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our topic tonight is how pornography affects faith. And what we're going to try to do, inshallah, in this session is basically look at how pornography affects, pornography addiction, how it affects two aspects of our faith. One is our spirituality, and the other is our ideology. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us of two things, of a body and a soul. And the nature of our soul is that it has certain desires, it has certain cravings that it wants to fulfill. But it can only fulfill those cravings and those desires through the body. And so this is how our soul is connected to our body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how most people, their souls lean and incline towards evil. That's the nature of the soul. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, that the nafs, its nature is to be inclining towards evil. And so the very test of our life, the very reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, is to test us, to see who among us will bring their nafs under their control and to submit to what Allah is pleased with, as opposed to those who wouldn't. That's the very test of our lives. And so you have one group of people who will bring their evil inclining soul under their control, only allowing it to desire and crave what Allah is pleased with. And you'll have another people who they will let their soul loose, giving it total freedom to do as it wishes. And so this is the only way of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by doing what pleases Him and staying away from what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically what pornography addiction does is that it causes a person's heart, it causes one's heart to become more and more distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now you love and crave what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and is displeased with. And in the end of the day, you only have one heart. Either you're going to fill it with what is pleasing to Allah, or you're going to fill it with what is pleasing to your nafs, which inclines towards evil. And this is further explained in the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu an, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that fitan, تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنَ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ, fitan, trials, tests, temptations are presented to the hearts one by one. Any heart that accepts them, these fitan, these temptations, they will be left with a black stain. But any heart that rejects them, they'll be left with a mark of purity. So that the hearts are of two kinds. One that is a dark heart that has turned away and become like an overturned vessel, and a pure heart that will never be harmed by any temptation, any fitna, as long as the heavens and the earth exist. So here in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed the hearts when exposed to fitan, all kinds of fitan, into two categories. The first, a heart which when it is exposed to temptation, it absorbs it like a sponge that soaks up water, leaving this heart to become dark and black. And what this does is that it causes the person to become confused. He won't be able to distinguish between good and evil. He'll see good as being evil, and he'll see evil as being good. And also, what it causes is, it causes one to set up his hawa, his desires, as his judge over that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. The other heart is the pure heart, which, you know, basically it has the light of iman, and whenever temptations are presented to it, it rejects them, it opposes them, and so its iman and its light becomes more radiant and more powerful. So this is why it is said that our gaze, when we look at something haram, that lustful gaze, it is the gateway to the heart. The soul, it craves it, and it'll end up leading to the heart. And we have in a hadith mentioned by Al-Hakim in Al-Mustadrak, it's a hadith that is disputed over its authenticity, where it is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the gaze, that lustful gaze, is an arrow from the poisonous arrows of Iblis. And that whoever abandons it out of fear of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him with iman, that he finds that sweetness of iman in his heart. Why is it said that it is poisonous, this arrow? Because even after you take out that arrow, the poison is left in the body. And this is the reality of those who are addicted to pornography, that even when they're not looking at what is haram and not enjoying it with their eyes, even when they're not doing that, their heart and their minds and their souls have already absorbed it, and it remains with them. It remains with them, corrupting their soul and their heart and also their mind. And this is why eventually that poison, you know, if you are to be attacked with a poisonous arrow and you take out the arrow, that poison remains in the body, it causes you to become sick. And it also can cause you to die as a result. And that is the very example of the heart. And so the hearts are of three kinds: the healthy heart, the sick heart, and the dead heart. And so what pornography addiction does is that it eventually leads to the death of the heart. It eventually leads to the death of the heart. And so the point is that a person, when he is addicted to looking at haram and pornography, it becomes difficult for him to perform acts of ibadah, to do good deeds, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it becomes very easy for him to commit haram. Again, here we're talking about addiction and not someone who may have, you know, looked at pornography once in his life, or, you know, twice or three times. We're talking about addiction. And an example of salah becoming difficult is that you won't find anyone who is neglectful of their salah, except that they indulge in their lustful desires. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Maryam that there succeeded after the generation of believers, there succeeded generations after them who, what did they do? أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. They neglected their salawat and they followed their shahawat. And so shahawat are the lustful desires. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding salah, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah is supposed to deter a person from what? From immorality, from indecency, from zina, from looking at haram, and also from munkar, from evil. So if it is not doing that, then it means that the person is neglectful of his salah. So all of this shows us that, it all shows us that pornography addiction, it really takes a hit on a person's deen and his spirituality by basically destroying his iman and making him less of a practicing and religiously adherent Muslim. So this is, on the one hand, how pornography addiction affects our faith, our spirituality. Now let's move on to how pornography addiction affects a person's ideology. And so another way that pornography addiction affects our faith is by causing our iman to really hit rock bottom, such that it shakes our yaqeen. It shakes our conviction in this deen, and it gives rise to all kinds of shubuhat, all kinds of doubts concerning our faith and concerning our deen of Islam. And we've always thought that doubts in our deen, that they come as a result of exposure to deviant ideological trends that are out there in the world, whether it be atheism, secularism, liberalism, all of these various isms, and even not these kufr ideologies, but even general doubts that come to our minds, we've thought that we have this traditional way of looking at it, that the reason for it is exposure to these deviant ideologies or individuals and sects that promote those ideas. But not many of us have pondered over the connection between shahawat, our lustful desires, and shubuhat, these doubts concerning our deen, and how indulging in shahawat, it eventually leads a person to adopt very, very dangerous shubuhat. And so the reality is that all deviant ideology throughout history, they sprouted from the ground of shahawat, from the hawa, from following one's desires. No sect appeared in Islamic history except as a result of certain individuals who followed their desires, their whims and their desires, instead of making their whims and desires to submit to the deen of Allah and to, you know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And so there is no ideological doubt out there, except that it emerges from the womb of a shahwa, a lustful desire that a person had. Whether it be related to our physical desires, such as, you know, zina and wanting to commit zina, or it could be something else, such as desiring to have some kind of status in this world, or wanting some kind of power and influence, wanting to become famous, and so on and so forth. These all come under the category of shahawat. And so looking for short-term enjoyment in this dunya is the primary reason for why a person commits, you know, kufr or commits a sin. And if we were to look at the example of atheists, most atheists, if you were to examine their lives, they become atheists at a time of strong shahwa, while they're young, while they're healthy. And it's rare to find a believer who is healthy and then becomes an atheist when he when they become old, it's rare to find that they would leave their deen, or that they would become atheists, or when they're ill and sick. And so resisting our shahawat is a must before they turn into shubuhat, and then into habits that become difficult for us to disengage from. One of the evidences that we can mention here of how, or the relationship between shubuhat and shahawat, is that shaitan, one of the ways that he, you know, drags a person into haram is through shahawat, through his lustful desires. Then once he controls him and that person becomes addicted to that, you know, particular shahwa, he then tries to encourage him والفحشاء وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. Shaitan, he only commands you to do evil and الفحشاء, indecency, immorality, zina, and so on and so forth. وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون, and that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. Meaning that you change the deen of Allah. You know that something is haram and you say it's halal. And so these are the steps of shaitan. He doesn't come to you right away and say to you that, you know what, this thing is clearly haram, find a way to legalize it and make it halal. No. He first makes you to enjoy that thing, makes you to become addicted to it. Then after he's taken control of you and you realize that, you know, there's no help for me, I'm addicted to this, I have to find a solution for this, so let me legalize it, let me make it halal. And so this is one example of how shubuhat lead to shahawat, and, you know, basically legalizing our shahawat. And so this is one example, but there are other examples as well of how pornography addiction, it raises shubuhat. And so what are some examples of doubts that arise from this kind of addiction? The first we mentioned, trying to legalize what is haram. And so a person, he's stuck in this addiction and he says, you know what, there's no other way for me to get out of it. So in order to, you know, get rid of his guilt, he says, okay, let me find some opinions of some scholars who have permitted it. And so then he goes out searching for these weird and strange opinions of certain scholars who have said that, for example, masturbation, there's nothing wrong with it, it's completely halal, and so on and so forth. So he tries to find ways to legalize what is haram. Another example is someone who's stuck in this addiction and he has turned to Allah for help and begged Allah to rid him of this addiction, but then he finds himself constantly going back to it. And this addiction, it's a real addiction, and, you know, there have been researches done recently which show how this addiction is even worse than addiction to drugs. And so such people, they try their best, they struggle, but they don't find any way to rid themselves of this addiction, even after making a lot of dua. So what happens is they start to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and question his existence. Because why isn't Allah accepting or answering my dua? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua of the person who is in distress. So why isn't Allah addressing or answering my dua? So this is how pornography addiction leads to a shubuhat. This is one example. Another example is certain people who they think that the only way to rid myself of this guilt, of this addiction that I'm involved in, is by just renouncing Islam completely. Renouncing Islam completely. Let me just leave Islam, and that's it. That's it. End of story. I don't have to be guilty anymore. I don't have to worry about this problem anymore. And this is what leads a lot of people to atheism. This is what leads a lot of people to atheism. They had a certain shahwa that they just could not give up, whether it be pornography addiction or another kind of shahwa. A lot of people, they are addicted to certain things that have become a part of their lives, certain desires that they just can't find a way to rid themselves of. And they know it's a sin, and they're constantly being told that, you know, this is a sin, this is haram, and they can't rid themselves of it. So they find that, you know what, an easy way out is by, you know, disbelieving in Allah. And this is the case with regards to whether it be Muslims or non-Muslims who have eventually adopted atheism. Majority of atheists today are not atheists because of a deep conviction that there exists no God, that there is no existence of a supreme being. No, the majority of them resort to atheism as a result of not being able to give up their lifestyle. Another example of how pornography addiction can lead to doubts and lead to a faith crisis and shubuhat is certain people who they become addicted to various kinds of pornography that also includes certain things like homosexuality. And this causes them to basically okay that kind of lifestyle. And so you find certain Muslims today who have no problem with a homosexual lifestyle. And they say there's completely nothing wrong with it. Also, another example is those people who are addicted to pornography. Another example of how it leads them to doubts concerning Islam is they adopt a superiority complex or an inferiority complex where they look to the kuffar as being more superior to us, as you know, they have all the enjoyment in the dunya and we have nothing. And so these are some of the examples of how shahawat lead to ashubuhat. And so there are some people who embrace these doubts and these ideologies with their desires, with their whims, because it firmly grounds for them their evil doing and their lifestyle. And so they want to escape from that label of being evildoers to intellectuals. That, you know, call me an intellectual instead of a sinner. And this is why it is of utmost importance for us to free ourselves of the slavery of our hawa, our whims. And this is the most dangerous kind of slavery. The most dangerous kind of slavery is to be enslaved by our hawa, our desires, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the hawa as the deity, the god that people worship. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Do you not see the one who has taken his God, his Hawa, and Allah caused him to go astray based on knowledge? And so, in conclusion, we need to take this issue seriously. Those addicted to pornography, or those of us who are parents and who have children, the danger of them being exposed to pornography is very, very apparent. And I'm sure as the other speakers will talk about, you know, the exposure of pornography today is unlike ever before. And so we need to take this issue seriously. And the only way that you can survive this fitna, if you are addicted to it, is by not giving up in this battle against your nafs and against shaitan. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive and struggle. Here Allah uses the term jihad. Those who strive against their nafs, they are the ones who Allah says that He will guide them to His ways. Meaning that Allah will guide you to all goodness as long as you continuously struggle against your nafs. As long as you don't give up, then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the ways for you. You will overcome this addiction. You will be victorious over it. Not only will you see it in this dunya, but you will see the fruit of that in the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to not give up. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. O you who believe, be patient, persevere in patience, and wa rabitu, stand your guard against your enemy, against your nafs, and also against shaitan. Stand, you know, in resistance. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And fear Allah so that you are successful. So stand firm in resistance and build your defenses. Build your defenses. You are right now in a battle against your nafs and its desires, its inclinations, and against shaitan. So you need to build your defenses and you need to stand strong in that resistance. The Prophet ﷺ compared the believer to a date palm tree. And one of the ways in which the believer, the mu'min, resembles the date palm tree is that the date palm tree is the kind of tree that stands firm and solid in even the fiercest and strongest of storms. And likewise the believer, no matter which storm comes and hits him, no matter how strong the shahawat are, his desires, his lustful desires are, no matter how strong they are, he will stand firm, resisting those desires, and he won't give up. That is one of the ways in which the mu'min, the believer, resembles the date palm tree. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help each and every single one of us, especially those who are addicted to this problem. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our young ones and our children from this very fierce fitna. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them all. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
And now, bi-ithnillah, we'll be going on, or we'll continue with the Q&A panel. So bi-ithnillah, I'll just ask you the question, and if you see it suitable, you can answer as you see fit, inshallah.
This question is for Sheikh Kamil. The question is, how can someone purify their soul or their heart after being addicted?
طيب بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Basically, when it comes to a sin that we commit, whether it be watching pornography or committing zina or whatever it be, the very first thing, the very first step that you take is to turn to Allah in repentance. This is the very first step. And in order for your repentance to be correct and accepted by Allah, it has to include, first and foremost, you stopping that sin right away. So you can't be, you know, involved and watching pornography and asking Allah for repentance. You have to stop it immediately. So you're done from it and you don't stop, you don't continue in it. The second thing is you have to have remorse and regret in your heart. So you can't be enjoying within your heart, you're enjoying what you saw while you're asking Allah for repentance. That's not an acceptable repentance. So it has to be remorse, regret, deep down from within your heart. And the third point regarding repentance and accepted repentance is that you have to make the strong resolve and determination to never ever go back to that sin ever again. And yes, obviously, with regards to this addiction or any other addiction, this intention and determination to not go back to it, it's something very difficult to bring about, especially when you've done it hundreds of times. And every time you ask Allah for repentance, and then, you know, you end up going back in this cycle. But don't ever give up on that intention. Don't ever give up on that intention when you're making tawbah to Allah. Because that intention right there is the key, is the very key to purifying your heart. Because you've made this contract with Allah that, oh Allah, I am never going to go back to this ever again. If you end up going back to it without having the intention, that's a different story. But if you make the intention to never go back to it again, then this is the very first step. This is the very first step towards purifying your heart. Because now Allah knows that you are serious, that you're honest with yourself, and you're honest with Allah. So now Allah will help you. The next step after that, once you've done your tawbah, is in order to, you know, leave that behind you, the next step is to busy yourself in a good deed. To busy yourself in a good deed. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds, they make bad deeds to go away. And so when you do a good deed, it causes the bad deed to go away. And, you know, there are so many different good deeds that you can do. You know, busy yourself in reciting the Quran. Busy yourself in praying Salatul Qiyam, Salatul Tahajjud, fasting, as Shaykh Wa'il mentioned, you know, regarding this very topic. Fasting is a good deed. It is an act of ibadah. Do it. And so many other good deeds that, you know, one should busy himself with. Because in the end of the day, Shaytan comes to us when we are free and we are not doing anything. We are free, we're sitting around, not busying ourselves with anything. And that is the golden opportunity for Shaytan to come to you. Because when you're not doing anything, that time needs to be filled. So if you do not fill it with something good, then Shaytan will come and fill it with something bad. And so these are the steps that one should take towards purifying his soul and cleaning his heart of that filth that he was involved in. And obviously, the greatest thing that one should not forget about, and that is turning to Allah, seeking his help, seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the end of the day, it is impossible for us to overcome any challenge except by Allah allowing us to overcome it. There is no challenge out there in the dunya, whether it be related to our deen or related to our dunya, except that the only one who allows us to overcome that challenge is none other than Allah. We on our own can't do anything. So turn to Allah for his help.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. The next question is, I try to quit, but I still fall back into sin, and I make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, but I don't see no results, and I'm losing faith. What would be your advice?
This brings us back to what we spoke about in the lecture earlier today, where people who have this addiction, they do ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And we mentioned this very example as an example of how this addiction leads people to shubuhat, to doubts concerning their faith. And so basically, you know, what I can advise such a person is, as we mentioned, not to give up. That's the key here, not to give up. And so this is a constant battle that we are in. And don't forget that you are in this battle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in this test. Don't look at others and think that, you know, others are not being tested with such a huge test that I am facing. But rather realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every one of us a test based on our own circumstances. So yes, you may be seeing others not going through the same thing, but that doesn't mean that they are not going through other tests that according to you are easy, but according to them, you know, for their circumstance, that test is, you know, they're looking at you thinking that your test is easy. And so a person, regardless of the test that he's been put in by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should always realize that it is a test from Allah. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, do the people think that, you know, it will be sufficient for them to say, we believe in Allah, and then that's it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave them without putting them through a fitna, without putting them to the test. And so realize that this is a struggle, it is a fitna, it is a test that you need to continue with. And remember that in the end of the day, as long as you are constantly turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as you are constantly turning back to Allah, then this is a good sign. This is a good sign. Don't say, you know, I keep going back to it, and then I keep doing tawbah, I keep asking Allah for help, and then I go back to it, and you're in this cycle, and then you start to give up hope. No. As long as you are in this cycle, you are far better, 100 times better than the one who, you know, after a few attempts, he gives up. That's it, he gives up. And, you know, he thinks that's it. You know, I'm done with this. And so as long as you are continuously, you know, battling through this, then you're upon the right path. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, strengthen your resolve and to keep you strong upon that path.
Ameen, ya Rabbi. This question also for Sheikh Kamil. It says, what's your thoughts on saying, wallahi, I'm not going to masturbate for a week? So basically an oath. Is this haram? And is this a smart way of worshipping? And also, is there a kafara for this?
Basically, when it comes to making an oath to stay away from a sin, the scholars basically mentioned that we're not supposed to make such oaths. And so an oath should only be for doing a good deed. An oath should only be for doing a good deed. So you make an oath that, you know, I'm gonna, you know, give in sadaqah. You make an oath that you're gonna do this such and such good deed. When it comes to abandoning sins, we're not supposed to make an oath by Allah that, you know, if I go back to this sin, then, you know, I'm gonna fast, for example, 10 days, or I'm gonna give this much in sadaqah. And so if a person does make such an oath, then he does have to pay the kafara for that. So it means that he does have to do what he made, you know, an oath by, but he should not do that in the future. He should not resort to doing that in the future, but rather he should take the other means to stop that sin, the other permissible means that are mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. This will be the last question for Sheikh Kamil, inshallah, and then we'll go to, we have, I think, one or two more questions for Sheikh Wael. This question for Sheikh Kamil says, how to make your thoughts pure of women who are haram for me since I'm married? I started to lower my gaze and look away since the last 2 or 3 years, but I still need some advice and guidance.
Definitely, lowering one's gaze is the first step. There's no doubt about that. And you know, that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Say to the believing men that they should lower their gaze and protect their private parts, for that is pure for them, and Allah is well aware of what they do. So this is definitely the very first step, and you know, what you're doing is the correct thing. And if you're saying that you've been doing this for the last 2 or 3 years, then alhamdulillah, what you're doing is good, and you're upon the correct path. Now, if you lower your gaze and still, you know, those thoughts are coming to your mind, perhaps, you know, you were addicted to pornography in the past, and that's why, you know, these thoughts are coming to you, then in the end of the day, you just have to constantly struggle with your nafs, because in the end of the day, your thoughts are a product of the cravings of your nafs, and obviously shaitan as well. So what you need to do is you need to continue to struggle against your nafs, do jihad with your nafs. So whenever you have those thoughts, ignore them, you know, stop persisting in those thoughts. Don't allow yourself to get carried away in those thoughts. And also don't forget to seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. Because like I said, these are the two sources. If you're having these thoughts without looking at women, then where else are these thoughts coming from? They're coming from your nafs that has those cravings of the past, and they're coming from shaitan. So you need to continue to struggle with your nafs, and you need to seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. And when you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and you seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, try your best to ponder over the meaning of what you're saying. Don't just say it without pondering over the meaning. You are saying, I seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, who is the cursed. Who is shaitan? We know shaitan has so much power. But when you bring to mind who you're seeking refuge in, then this helps you to put things into perspective. You are seeking protection and help in none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is far more powerful than shaitan. And so when a person seeks refuge, let's say, you know, he's outside and it starts raining very heavily, he's going to look for shelter, right? Where is he going to look for shelter? Under some flimsy, weak place where, you know, the rain is going to hit him? No. He's going to look for the strongest protection. And so when you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, keep that in mind, that you are seeking protection in the strongest protection. There is no greater protection and refuge than the refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you have that conviction in your heart that, you know, it is Allah who's going to protect me from shaitan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for your iman in Him and your trust in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will reward you by actually keeping shaitan away from you. So these are the two things you need to do whenever you have these thoughts. Obviously as well, don't forget, try to busy yourself whenever you have these thoughts with the remembrance of Allah. And so when you remember Allah with your heart and your tongue, then this keeps away all evil thoughts bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.